the thoughtless state, is it the entrance point to the ultimate something? You are near Atma or near realization?
Only thoughtlessness, as we say, it may not. It may give you some little experience as we have of every experience. But what is meant by thoughtless state, that also has to be, because many people say, I did not have any thought. But at the same time, they don't feel anything new there also. So actually, what is that? It is generally called chitta vritti, that even the thinking that I don't have any thought is a thought. So the real thoughtless state is definitely different. So what people generally report, it is very difficult to find out what the, but from the report we can understand that it is not what we mean. Because otherwise they would have got some
glimpse of
light.
Glimpse of the ultimate.
Glimpse.
Yeah, because the path is so much unknown and it cannot be articulated for people like us who are in the worldly being. What I understand, that the desirelessness leads to thoughtlessness.
In a way, but desirelessness is the ultimate. We, in all the Upanishads, you will find initially they speak of Atma, about Brahman, about Brahmatmaikatva Bodha, so many models, theories, explanations, everything they speak. But towards the end, you will find only they will speak like Yada Sarve Pramuchyante Hridayasya Hrgandhayaha. That is when all the desires, when all the knots of the ego are broken, when all the desires are broken. Athamatyo Amrito Bhavati Atra Brahma Samashnate. Then when the desires are all removed, then man becomes immortal here itself, in this body itself. So actually desirelessness is the, in a way, the highest state we can say. Because it is the desire which is deluding us as a separate entity from our real identity. Or we think that that Atma's Paramatmahood, that we are not able to understand, that is only because of the desire, we create an artificial separation. Otherwise, what we call Jivatma, it is always the Paramatma. But we create a difference because of the smallness of our identity and corresponding desires. When the desires go, the identity can easily be set right with knowledge. But the knowledge, in spite of the intellectual knowledge, understanding, it doesn't dawn in us, it doesn't have the realized state because of the desires. So desirelessness is the highest state. When we don't expect anything from anywhere, from anybody in the world, that is the most confident and fulfilled state of being.
Having understood desire as the biggest problem, and since I am in a body, I cannot remain desireless. I cannot attain that state. That's the problem if I have. Then what I do, I desire for the Sarva Bhuta, good for everybody. That will be the biggest.
You can, but what you need is an approach through knowledge. That what we understand by desire, there also a lot of clarity has to be there. Actually, desires are redundant and irrelevant and only a hindrance. When we really understand that, then there won't be any desires. Our idea about desire and our idea about happiness, it all always misleads us. So the best process is to have some knowledge, that is, approach through that, rather than approaching through various yoga methods, etc. They can be secondary, side by side they can go on. But a foolproof, solid, confident path is the path of knowledge. Which is, in our shastras it is said that there is a mango on the tree. You can go and you can start plucking with a stick, it may go half, you can climb and then you can use a stick, then you can use a hook. And then finally when you bring it down, it may not fall in your hand, it may fall on the ground and waste it. But a bird sitting on another tree, it straight flies to the mango and eats it as much as it needs and it is happy. So that is the comparison with knowledge and other methods. So knowledge is a foolproof direct method. So various conceptions we have, they get sorted out in the process. They get clarified. The clarity is the, then desire also becomes redundant. So actually desire goes, as you are saying, thoughtless. People do not have the real thoughtlessness. Otherwise what will happen, when we come close to the samadhi, which is the no function state, before that our being will be flooded with ananda, which we call bliss. Why we call bliss? Because all our joy generally we get in touch with something else. can be material something else, it can be non-material also. Material means if I get some food I like, a sweet I like, I get joy. This is one. If I like some fame, then it is not a material thing. But when people are speaking about greatly about me, then we get joy. So everywhere there is a contact with a second. Even the mental joy also contact with something outside, happening outside. But here in this process, when we are going within, we are diving within, then there is no contact at all. We are coming away from all kinds of contacts. And suddenly we find that the whole being is flooded with an unknown joy which I have never experienced. Now getting that joy also, people don't think that is the problem. There if they apply the knowledge, then they find that actually for this bliss is a natural coordinate of our soul, you can say. It is always radiating from within. But we are not able to taste it because our mind is disturbed by desires and other things. Although we are thinking that running after certain thing and getting that thing I will be happy, it is not so. Really the happiness is a quality of the mind. It is created by the mind. So when I, without getting involved in anything, without trying anything, the joy flooded me, it means that the joy is there in me. It is not outside. Then we should apply the knowledge and think everywhere, whatever joy we get, it is within. Suppose you see a beautiful scenery. See, you have gone near a beach for the first time and you feel that seeing the vastness, you get so much of joy. Now, we naturally think that as if the joy is in the vastness of the sea. But suppose right at that point you get the news that your factory has failed or your business has failed or your closest person has died. The moment we hear our mind, the joy is gone. The sea is still in front, the ocean is still in front, the vastness is still in front. Then why did we miss it right 1 second before it was there? Now it is not there. So the knowledge orientation will make us analyze. Because whatever I thought that the joy is coming from the sea, it is not so. The first time when I saw the sea, it gave me something new. Because of that I forgot all our other material association, worldly association. And the mind for some minutes, it was in a free state. So it expanded like the sea. It took the form of the sea, so to say. It is an expansion, free expansion of the mind. It was not bogged down. It was not made small, constricted by I want this, I like this, I dislike this, this person I like, that person I dislike. All those thoughts had gone. That is why the mind felt the joy. So it is in the free expanded state of the mind that we are feeling the joy, we are able to experience the joy which is welling forth from within. So do we need the outer things for that, have the joy? So because everywhere, whatever we do, the ultimate carrot is the joy or happiness. So when we get the joy within, we will run after anything. That stops there. So the desire becomes redundant there. Not only that, it becomes a hindrance also. Suppose something we desire. More intense the desire is, the more will be the joy when that desire is fulfilled. Is it not so? If it's a small desire, some little desire, having a book or this, the joy also will not be that. But if it is a desire for something I have been longing for a long time, the more intensity of the desire is, the more will be the joy when it is fulfilled. Now the reason is that intensity of the desire takes away all other small desires. Suppose you intensely want something, then you will forget all other things. That desire could be different for different person. Somebody may want to write a book and publish it. The day the book is published, he feels so happy about it. Now that writing the book had taken away all other, he was not interested in food, he was not interested in going out, going to the club, anything, just because of the intensity of the desire. And so when it is fulfilled, he gets very happy. Now that amount of happiness also is more there, because the mind was completely occupied by one single desire and the other desires were cleared. So when that is fulfilled, the mind becomes desireless. And the happiness comes from desirelessness, not from the fulfillment of the desire. We don't think about it, so we go on suffering. Suppose somebody had become happy by fulfilling a desire, then the whole world would have become happy. The people who are the richest people of the world, are they happy really? Go close to them and see how they are happy. They ask more and more and more. They have no way to utilize the money. They are accumulating more and getting into more trouble. Even brother and brother also are fighting. At the same time, our Upanishad says, na vittena tarpaniyo manushya. So it is not the fulfillment of the desire, but the elimination of the desire which gives us happiness. So the sadhana is to eliminate all the desire. Why do you want it? But it will not happen easily. Because of the habits, tendencies, a person will not be able to do. So what our shastras suggest is that, okay, after the brahmacharya, you select whether you have worldly desire or not, whether you can go without that or not. Because they have already got shastric knowledge to some extent, say at the age of 18 or 21, brahmacharya is over. If you feel that you have lot of desires, then you have to fulfill them by passing through, because your samskara will not allow you to take to a life which does not allow you to fulfill those desires. So you get married, you take a job or whatever to earn money, but earn according to the dharma. Dharma, artha. Dharma you have learned. Now you get artha, earn, according to whatever dharma you have learned. Not harming anybody and in the righteous manner you earn. And dharma, artha, kama. You fulfill your rightful desires, not harming anybody. You fulfill, then what will happen? If you do it according to the dharma, the dharma has already taught you that there is something beyond. The ultimate fulfillment of man is only by knowing his own identity, knowing his soul. So there is something beyond. So you should know that you fulfill your desire, okay, but that is not going to make you permanently happy. What we think is that by making this building, I will be satisfied. But the moment we enter the building, we want to make something else. The building is done. So we look for furniture, we look for this instrument, that instrument. So we don't really remember that, well, I am doing this, I am going for a job, and only if a very good job also I get, then also I will not be ultimately happy. But I have some capability, I will work in the field, whatever is needed for the society I will do, everything I will do. But not thinking that it will make me ultimately happy. So if we go on living our life in this manner, then very soon we will be free of desires. We will outlive that also. And then we can take to the pursuit wholesomely also. This is the process we have. So once we understand it is not the fulfillment of desire, but it is the elimination of the desire which gives us the happiness, the real happiness lies within, then this chasing the carrot stops there. He has some capability, he has some education, he has some other qualities, and the world needs something, he will function, he will do everything, but not out of the desire. It is a natural arrangement. Suppose a tree is, the plants are growing, the leaves are coming up every night, every morning we find new leaves have come up. It is not out of desire, it's a natural projection. The whole world is moving without desire, except the human beings.